This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
No, I think the move's been good. I think everybody just wants to win. I think when you want to win, it's always going to be some chippiness, but at the same time, I think everybody respects the amount of work that each player puts in and what the coaches put in, and at the end of the day, we just want great output, and I think the output is winning, and I think that's the most important thing, and we're trying to figure out what's the best way of doing that. I think it's just us playing our best games and putting our foot forward.
So far, though, the Cowboys, I don't think, have played their best game, and I think that's been the most frustrating thing to me so far this season is that they haven't played to the level that we think that they can play. And I don't know if they think they can play the same way. 877-881-1053. What's been the most frustrating thing about the Cowboys so far for you this year? Kevin, it's just been announced that Eli Manning is going to be starting this weekend.
Wow.
Did they take Daniel Jones' love away? Did they not love him anymore? Did they fall out of love with Daniel Jones?
He's got a high ankle sprain. He's in a walking boot.
All right. Never mind.
But also, they may be out of love.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Out of love with him.
It's got
to
be.
It's real easy to fall out. Like, it just fall in.
Uh-huh.
Yep. I love.
Otherwise, it makes no sense. By the way, watch for that point spread to move in a negative direction. Because as we pointed out, Eli Manning was the only starting quarterback who negatively impacted the point spread for his team at the beginning of the year.
All right, 877-881-1053. You just heard Michael Bennett say, look, we just want to win. We got to figure out how to put our best foot forward. And Kevin, for me, that's the thing. I don't think they have yet. That's where I'm looking at it in a positive manner. I know I took a walk through the country. A lot of people are taking my advice. They're taking a walk through the countryside as well, relaxing a little bit, clearing their heads, because we're at 6-6, Kevin.
Yep.
Essentially, the slate is clean. You're at a zero right now. All you need to do is stack up wins,
right.
Go into the playoffs. So you're in first place.
The slater's clean.
The slater's clean. But what you do now is what is the most meaningful part of this. What's been the most frustrating thing for you? For me, Kevin, I think it's still positive. They haven't played their best game yet. They still have a better place to be. And once they get there, if they can replicate it over and over, that's when you're going to see this team do something special.
For me, the most... Man, look at you like you're on a job interview. What's your worst quality? Well, I think it's probably that I work too hard. Mm-hmm. Don't be that guy.
It's that I care too much.
Yeah, give me a real answer. Come on.
I'm really in tune with the details. A little too much sometimes.
Oh my God, gross. All right, so my number one frustrating part about the team this year is the missed tackling. It is the missed tackling all day long. Because one of the things is people really key in on like, oh, your defense hasn't been very good this year. But I hate saying this, but this is the one spot of execution where I agree with Jason Garrett. Because it feels like so often your linebackers in particular have been in the position to stop a play. But the poor tackling has killed you. And I hate to say it because Jason Garrett on the execution front is right about this, and maybe your defense would scale back to, I don't know, mediocre to slightly above average if you had been getting your tackling all year, and you have to think that makes at least one or two games different. So I think, because tackling is an effort and technique issue, and I think the fact that the tackling has been so bad is my most frustrating part of this team.
From the 2-1-4, for me, it's the offensive line. I think they've been mediocre at best, especially in run blocking. And you know what? Like, you hear Jeff talk about it, and he's like, look, Connor Williams is better than Xavier Suofilo. But I don't think Connor Williams is quite the level of what what we need him to be. You know, I think that he needs to be a little bit better for this team. And I think that the offensive line has struggled at times with things. I don't think it's communication. I think they could benefit a little better from a stronger run coordinating game. I don't think that Kellen Moore's knowledge of how to utilize the running game is quite there when it comes to calling plays. Because I'm trying to figure out, like, what is it they do well? When Bill Callahan was here, that thing clicked, man. You could figure it out. And Scott Linehan, he pretty much did what he was told when it came to the running game. I don't think Kellen Moore, he's a great passing game coordinator. But when the passing game's not working, you have to have something that you can lean on. And I agree. Maybe the Cowboys offensive line, they'll take that. They say, look, we got to be better all the time. But that's been something that's been very frustrating, because you should, with that offensive line, with that running back, you should be able to run at will. And Kevin, that was the thing that we loved about that Seahawks game years ago when Terrence Williams made that catch on the sideline. That was a season when the Cowboys knew what they were good at and said, stop us from it. And this year, they haven't told anybody to stop them from doing anything. And they've been adjusting before they need to adjust, because I don't think they know what they're good at right now.
From the 469, I hate the fact that they don't use Blake Jarwin more, especially on obvious passing downs, to help convert those first downs. And a couple weeks ago, I heard G-Bag talking about these stats where Jason Witten had been in on more pass plays and Jarwin had been on a higher percentage of run block plays. And you're like, well, that's not the way you want to draw that up at all. Somebody said, because Jarwin is not a particularly good blocker.
Neither's Jason.
Well, yeah, but Jason.
So you have two bad blocking tight ends.
That's true. I would say Jason's like slightly less bad, if that's a thing, which I'm going to say it is a thing. And then Jarwin is obviously more explosive in the pass game.
They just need to line up all the tight ends and just go four wide with a tight end in the slot.
Okay.
That way you're not having him on the line. That way you don't have the extra defender in the box there, because there's the threat of Jarwin being down the seam.
I really like the idea of Jason Witten in the slot, where ideally you're shiftiest wide receiver is.
And still have your slot receiver on the other side. You're just, now you have two guys in the slot and two on the outside, and that way there's not an extra defender in the box. That's it for me.
From the 972, my main frustration is we keep hearing that we need to execute in all three phases. Quit talking about it and just do it. Man, the all three phases thing, I think we should never use that again. I think we should just say we need to execute on offense and defense, because we are not paying attention to special teams.
Yeah, no, not paying attention, Kevin.
We are ignoring the results.
They went out and tried out three different kickers, Kevin.
Sweet.
That's not ignoring the problem. I mean, they didn't change them, but that's not ignoring it. They at least
Meanwhile, the second the Patriots miss an extra point, they're like, you're out.
Basically, what they did over the weekend, they went to the doctor, got that mole checked out. The doctor said, you're going to need to use this ointment. They never went and got the prescription filled. That's what the Cowboys did over the weekend.
And then this season's going to die of cancer.
Well,
what do you think happened with that mole?
I don't know.
This season is going to die of cancer via the wild card, and we're going to be like, I don't know what happened. Yes, you do.
From the 562, and this is what we're asking, 877-881-1053. Look, we're one of the most interactive shows on the entire station. This entire station is fantastic at it, but we love the fan text. We love when you guys get involved, because I know whenever I'm listening, I love to text in and hear my name. I love to hear my text being called out. And from the 562, it's frustrating to see 21 tap his helmet after three plays and then go on the sidelines on critical third downs.
Wow.
I don't know how many people have noticed that, how many people have caught on to that going on, but that is something that is very frustrating. And people will go back and blame that on his lack of training camp. I don't know. He was getting in condition. I think that's just Zeke. I think because of the way he runs, I don't know if he's like, look, I'm conserving myself for the fourth quarter or what it is. But you do see Zeke after a couple of big plays. He's like, all right, go ahead and send Pollard in. Man, Bill Parcells would have never let that happen. That's the difference, I think.
Get back out there.
Jason Garrett does listen to his players and say, hey, you know, if you need something, I'm more than happy to accommodate. But remember when Julius Jones tapped his helmet and Bill Parcells said, seven straight run plays. Screw that. You're not coming out of this game.
So is that what you would like to see, for him to just point back out there and you're like, you're going back out there and you have to keep running and running and running.
We need you. Whatever you got left in the tank, give it right now, because we need it right now. There's nothing else that you can save. This team has no place to be like, you know what? I can conserve everything right now.
Right.
Now, maybe you get injured on that play. I totally get it, because you're not at your maximum level of whatever. But, dude, you better be prepared to get the ball 30 straight times if I need to give you the ball 30 straight times. It seems ridiculous, but if it's the only thing that's going to beat the opponent, at some point they're going to have to adjust, which means somebody else is going to be open on a play.
It's ridiculous.
Because we kept pounding the rock so much, they couldn't stop it. And you kept saying, you know what, relentlessly. Remember that time where Zeke lit up Cam Chancellor in a preseason game and said, bring it on.
Elliott.
Bring it on, he told him.
Isn't that the same game that Romo got hurt?
Yes.
Oh.
So right. See, lots of positive
but
things.
But that's...
What? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Where is that Zeke?
My Romo heart.
Where is that Cowboys team that was like, I want to be on the field. I want to be the guy that's pushing it down on them.
Do you think it's just out of shape, his high usage rate, and he's getting older, or he got paid and he doesn't want
it? I'm not going to use he got paid and he doesn't want it. I don't like that because I still feel like you have competitive nature in you.
Okay.
And I think there's you sometimes you have to find what it is that makes you want to compete. Are you saying he's partying too much, Shippy?
No, I thought we were going to talk about the party bay.
Okay, all right. I will talk about the party bay in just a minute. But Kevin, remember when Dirk finally won his championship and then said, I've accomplished all my goals. Yeah. What do I do now? Zeke's won the rushing title. He's multiple times and he's got signed. He needs to reassess his goals. That's what Emmett did. He set long-term goals, before his career started, and he set short-term goals each season. Well, he wanted to reach his long-term goals, and he did because he kept at it.
I think the other thing, and I've seen this pop up a couple of times, this has been a big thing for me over the years, is the time management, the clock management. I mean, because that's one of the things that you would think that Garrett is in charge of or should be better at. And so that's one of the things that drives me insane. I've seen from the 972 and from the 817, clock management. And that really, really bothers me. From the 469, the lack of interceptions, or I think you can argue not getting turnovers in general. And we've heard Jerry reference that. We've heard Steven reference that. We're like, we're trying to get turnovers. That is something that we're working on. But the fact that it's just not happening, that's frustrating.
Somebody said that that Jerry Jones thinking he's still the GM is frustrating.
He's definitely the GM. Make no mistake about it.
We're going to get into this because Troy Aikman went after him. We're going to get into this in the next segment, Kevin, because I think he's right, but I've always given Jerry the credit for spreading some of the say to the other smart people in the room. I just wonder if all of them feel like they can give their real answers whenever asked questions. Kevin, we do have the party bay. I know Shippy brought up the party bay.
Oh,
I want to win. G-Bag Nation, I believe, is up to $1,400 for their bay.
What?
The Sean and RJ are at like $800, and the KNC Masterpiece is at $650 right now. 877-881-1053. I want to beat G-Bag, and here's what I'm willing to offer.
Oh.
877-881-1053. Whoever wins, whoever gets us over the top of G-Bag and Sean and RJ, whoever is the winner of the bid, if they outbid Sean and RJ's team and the G-Bag Nation team, this is for Jared Sandler swinging for a cause, I will let them spin the Wheel of Misfortune.
Oh, my God.
And select which person on this show has to pay off the Wheel of Misfortune. All you got to do right now is call in 877-881-1053. If you end up outbidding Sean and RJ and the G-Bag Nation's bid, you get to spin the Wheel of Misfortune.
And remember who hates Luca.
And select who pays it off. If you want all three of us to pay it off.
Nope.
That's a possibility.
It is.
If you want two of the three people to pay it off, that's a possibility.
If we win, okay.
So here it is, 877-881-1053, outbid the G-Bag Nation. Outbid Sean and RJ's bid. It's at $1,400 for G-Bag, $800.
Chump change.
Yeah, chump change. You get to spin the wheel and select who has to pay off the Wheel of Misfortune.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.